name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
We come today in the church for divine liturgy on the Lord's Day, and also to praise John, the honorable, glorious prophet, forerunner, and Baptist. We commemorated the solemn memorial of his beheading yesterday, August 29th, in the church. And today, we talk about why John is so important. He has a unique and special place in our understanding of sanctity, in our understanding of the whole history of salvation, and in our Orthodox faith. As proof, we can look at how many titles he has, right? And how many adjectives are applied to his name. Honorable, glorious. He is a prophet. He's the forerunner of Christ's coming in the flesh. And he is the one who baptized Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. Any Orthodox church you go to will always depict John the Baptist on this side of Jesus Christ on the icon screen. It's always Christ the teacher, and on the other side, Mary the Theotokos with Christ, and on this side of Jesus, always John the Baptist. Very special place of honor. He is considered the last and greatest prophet under the Old Covenant. The last and greatest saint, even, under the Old Covenant of God with his people. The last one to come and say that the kingdom of God is here. It is now. It is among us. That's what John preached out in the wilderness. And we could think about some of the things we know from the New Testament. John was not a rich man. He was not dressed in fancy clothing. He was not attired in soft raiment. Jesus even says that about him. We know from today's gospel that it's very difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. Because of the cares of the world and the love of the things of the world draw us away from the ways of God. John lived in, we might even say, simplicity and poverty. He's described as, and always depicted in the icons, as looking kind of wild, his hair's unkempt, dressed not in soft clothing like a king would, but rather in camel's hair, eating the wild food of the desert, locust and wild honey. John was bold and he spoke the truth. He confronted Herod and told Herod it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. And for that, John was put in prison. And we know from the commemoration yesterday that on Herod's birthday, he threw a party and everybody was drinking and enjoying themselves. And a young woman danced for him and enticed him so much, he was filled with drunkenness and lust, that he promised her anything. So at the request of her mother, she requested the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And Herod was deeply grieved by this because he knew John was a righteous man. He knew he spoke the word of God. With all of his faults, he understood. But he kept his word, and the deed was done, and John was beheaded. And thus he died while Jesus was still alive. So we hear in the gospel things that Jesus says about John. Very striking words. This striking statement from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says that among those born of women, there is none that has risen greater than John. Of those born of women, there is none greater than John. Wow. That's saying a lot. But what's even more striking is the second part of that. Jesus says, however, he who is the least in the kingdom is greater than John. he who is the least in the kingdom is greater than even John, the greatest born of woman. So we might want to have to unpack that, as we say. What does that mean? John seems to be being praised by Jesus. Jesus is saying, you can't get greater than this, born of a woman. Who's not born of a woman? That's all of us, right? Seemingly so. The Gospel of John, the evangelist, in that prologue, Jesus is described as coming in the flesh. God is giving his son. And the evangelist tells us that he came to his own people and his own people rejected him. But those who received him, Jesus Christ, those who received him, he has given the power to become sons of God, born not of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. This is what it means to be born from above, as Jesus tells Nicodemus. One must be born from above to enter into heaven. And Nicodemus asks him, how can that be? How can you go back into your mother's womb and be born a second time? But Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about being born of God. And we understand that as baptism and a life, a new life with God in Jesus Christ, the life of the church. So this statement of Jesus about John, that there's none greater, but then the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater, is not so much a praise of John as it is about us, you and I, living in the new covenant. This new covenant, this new relationship we have with God, is so much better and so much more superior than the old covenant. Because we are made children of God, not by the law that was given to Moses, not by any righteousness of our own, not by keeping the letter, but rather by being born of God, knowing his will, believing in Jesus Christ, receiving him. Those who receive him have the power to be sons of God, born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. We understand this new covenant, and again we say, it's not our own righteousness that saves us, it's the righteousness of God given to us in his only Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificed on the cross. And if we belong to him, if we receive him, if we identify with him, then his righteousness becomes ours. And we get into heaven through him and no other way. That's how we understand. This new covenant is God's relationship with his people. And it is given in the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So as great as John is, the Gospels tell us there's even something greater, the least in the kingdom of heaven. You and I, the church, the people of God, who receive Jesus Christ. So we remember John, and we asked in the bulletin last week even, how many days during the year is he remembered? There's a lot. There's at least 6 days. He's so important in the church. We remember when he was conceived. And there's proof right there that a human person is formed at conception. Right? We have a feast day to remember John's conception. And when John was still in the womb, he leapt for joy at greeting the Messiah. Hearing the news of Mary's greeting to Elizabeth, he leapt in his womb for joy. We remember his birth. We remember, of course, as we do yesterday, his beheading. And then they found his head on different occasions. His head was stolen and then returned and then found again and given to the church. So there's a couple of days where we remember the finding of the honorable head. So it just shows us how great of a saint and a person he is. And yet we are called to something even greater. So what can we learn from John? What can we learn from John the baptizer, John the forerunner? John the prophet, the last great prophet. The most important thing, beloved in Christ, that we can take from John is he knew exactly what his role was, and he fulfilled it with nothing more. John knew that he was not the Christ. And when they asked him, "Are you the Christ?" he said, "No, I am not he, but he is coming, and I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he who is coming, who is mightier than I, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," talking about the giving of the Holy Spirit in the church, "and fire," talking about the final judgment. Only Jesus is the one. John knew he was not the one. He was there to prepare people for it. And he said the words, "Repent, change your ways." He confronted those who came out to him in the wilderness to be baptized and said, "Who told you to flee from the coming wrath? Repent, change your ways." And they said, "What should we do?" And of course, he preached the gospel, love of the neighbor. If you have two coats, give one to somebody who doesn't have one. If you have bread, feed the hungry. Basically, the same law that's been handed down all along, telling people, live by God's way. Love your neighbor as yourself, because the kingdom is here. It is now. It is among us. Repent. But John's greatest example for us is in his understanding that he must decrease in life. And he tells Jesus that. He says, "I must decrease, but you must increase." How does that not fly in the face of everything we're told in the world? We're told to be all we can be, to go for what is ours, to look out for number one. But John knew his role was fulfilled. He paved the way. He was about to be imprisoned and die. And he told Jesus, "I must decrease, but you must increase." That humility, that love of God, that commitment to the truth is something we can all learn from and use as an example in our lives. Humility, beloved in Christ, is the greatest virtue we have, because it's so easy to want to puff ourselves up and build ourselves up at the expense of other people. And the world encourages that. But in the Word of God, we know that that will only lead to condemnation. We follow Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross. We know that he humbled himself to obedience, even to death on the cross, and we are called to do the same. Remember the words of the gospel today. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor. In other words, love until the end, and then follow me. That's what the rich man was lacking. And maybe we're lacking that too. You know, we need humility. We need to follow a master who is great and yet who humbled himself even to death. Today in the church, and yesterday in these final days of the church calendar, we remember John. We recount the events, the horrible events surrounding his death, and we hold him up as an example, as a teacher for us. John was not perfect. You know, he was a human being just like us. In fact, in a moment of weakness, even he, many church fathers think, doubted Christ. When he was imprisoned, he sent his disciples to Jesus to find out, "Are you he who is to come, or should we look for another?" Like Peter, he was having trouble accepting the gospel of the cross. You know, this is too much to endure. Is this what God wants? He doubted that Jesus was the Christ and what the Christ would do in his sacrifice on the cross. But Jesus praises John. We in the church praise John. We look to him as a model of humility, of truth, and of love of God and commitment to his word. So always John on this side, kind of like the last remembrance we have in the old calendar, even on the end of the church calendar. And then we begin the church year, of course, with the Theotokos, the Mother of God, and her nativity right at the beginning of September. So Mary's the greatest saint under the new covenant. She's the first one to say yes to Jesus. And John is the last and greatest under the old covenant. And that's why they have such a special place in our worship, in our faith, and an understanding of salvation history. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Mother of God, the Theotokos, through the prayers of the Honorable, Glorious Prophet, Forerunner, and Baptist John, and through the intercessions of all the saints, may our Lord God have mercy on us and save us. Amen.